2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy to have you on board to the podcast once again. It's Washington Week. Week number four already. The season is flying by. Can you believe it? There's only 9 games left in the regular season, hopefully 10 total with a bowl game as well. But the season is rolling along. It always happens this way once we actually get into the season. It just flies by. It's the slowest season to actually arrive, the longest off season of any sport. But then once it gets here, it just flies by. We've got a great show for you. Ed Lamb, one-on-one interview I had with Coach Lamb, discussing his linebackers, the special teams, the scrum play. We get to a lot of things there. Also, programming note, on the podcast feed, go check out my one-on-one interview I had with Max Tooley, BYU linebacker, who's coached up by Ed Lamb. He's going to take on a bigger role, I think, in the coming weeks for BYU. So go check out that podcast as well. Make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and review for the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and third-party platforms. It helps us out a ton. But again, it's BYU versus Washington. And, you know, before I get any further into that, I do want to give a quick shout-out to a former BYU Cougar who, I got to say, this dude was holding it down after the USC win for BYU. Man, he was repping hard. He was singing the fight song. He was going balls to the wall, celebrating his Cougars. That was BYU running back, former BYU running back, Squally Canada.
Rise, a loyal Cougar, to hurt your child is too little. Hey, 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 we will fight, hey, day and night. Hey, Lord, snow.
Look at him.
Loyal, strong, and true.
How great is that?
Look at him.
Look at him.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That was my reaction when I saw that video on Twitter. I went Riley Nelson on him.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Hey, hey, hey.
That's my favorite part, and then this.
Look at him.
So look at him. That little clip right there.
Look at him.
That's going to be a new segment after postgame on the show now. It's going to be the Look at Him Award.
Look at him.
Who was the top player from a BYU win or a loss? Players that stood out.
Look at him.
Look at Him Award here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. So thank you to the camera woman or person that filmed Squally Canada's video.
Hey, hey, hey.
Because now we have a new segment, the Look at Him Award here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. So looking forward to that to see coming up after the Washington game a little bit later this Saturday. But I always enjoy former Cougars repping the Y and enjoying a BYU victory, and rightfully so. Squally was enjoying himself, some spirits, and it was a lot of fun.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But BYU gets ready for number 22, Washington, and it's a big game. BYU lost to Washington last year, 35-7, and it was one of those games where BYU was not competitive at all. You can go hear the interview I had with Max Tooley. He even mentioned how he felt that the team wasn't even prepared. In his point of view, he wasn't traveling with the team. He was recovering from some injuries, but still, it just felt like BYU was not prepared. They weren't ready, and they just got the doors blown off them, despite being a team that was, one, nationally ranked, and two, just 2 weeks prior, they had went to Wisconsin and defeated the Wisconsin Badgers, who were number 6 team in the country. But BYU was crushed a year ago in Montlake. They just were. And Washington's a good team again. They lose a lot. 9 new starters on defense. A lot of new faces on the offensive side of the ball. But still, this is a good Huskies team. Washington comes into this game 2-1, just like BYU. They had a heartbreaking loss to Cal in week 2. I remember being in Tennessee, and I'm laying down a podcast for this Cougar Tracks podcast feed, recapping the Tennessee win for the Cougars. And I remember thinking to myself, it's like 3:30 in the morning Eastern time, and I'm seeing a score on the ESPN app Washington and Cal still playing. And I'm like, huh? How is that still going? It's like 1:30 in Utah, 12:30 in Washington. How is that still happening? How is that still going? I did not know about the lightning delay and all of that. I didn't know about any of that. So I was so confused, but obviously Washington came away with an L in that one. But last week they looked impressive, bouncing back, taking down who Nick Rolovich, Hawaii head coach, felt was a Rose Bowl team because the Rainbow Warriors had defeated Arizona and Oregon State. Washington crushed Hawaii, and Washington's a good team once again. I don't know if they're necessarily a Pac-12 title team this year. They could be a threat, maybe, because of how good their coaching staff is, but it feels like a little bit of a rebuilding year, but nonetheless, it's just because it's young. Washington's a really good team this year once again, and that's one of the reasons why Washington is a six-point favorite over BYU heading into Saturday's matchup. Washington averaging 39.3 points per game. Their opponents are averaging only 18 points a game. Points off turnovers, Washington 17, opponents 0. That's got to change for BYU because we've seen BYU the last 2 weeks, they win the turnover margin. That is of the utmost importance for the Cougars. They got to change that this week. You know, passing yardage, they've had 792 yards. Washington has average rushing yards per game, 192, 264 through the air. I mean, it's a pretty balanced attack. But again, I think that this will be a unique challenge, I think, for Washington. And even Coach Chris Peterson said it's a big game. You know, it's a big atmosphere, and he's looking forward to it for his guys. And this was Chris Peterson's thoughts on BYU this year compared to what they were a season ago.
Well, they're different on offense for sure. They've definitely changed, tweaked their system. They were so really heavy run oriented, and they still want to run the ball, but it is different. There's certainly some carryover, but it is different. I think the quarterback makes them better. He's a really good player. He's super athletic. Gets the ball out quick. He's got some moxie to him. I mean, I think that on offense, so they are significantly different there. And then on defense, they have a lot of guys back, but they also play a lot of guys, which is, something that we kind of like to do around here. But they have a lot of depth. They'll rotate a lot of guys at all positions, certainly in that front seven. And I think that helps them. And so they've been doing that. Kalani's a defensive coach, and they're kind of running his stuff. And, second, third year into it is do it better.
Well, how about that? Coach Chris Peterson, Washington head coach, saying BYU's got depth. Interesting. It could be coach speak, could just be pumping up the opponent. Because, I mean, hey, Washington's got to feel pretty good and confident and feel like, hey, we could just show up and crush these guys again. Don't be warned, though. BYU has been known to bounce back in games against teams not named Utah. They're pretty good in the revenge games. BYU's pretty good at that. So I think this is going to be a competitive game. I do. But this will be maybe the toughest test since Utah for the Cougars, and rightfully so. I mean, again, another ranked team. I think there's better coaching at Washington than there is USC, and that alone makes this a unique battle. And I think BYU's coaches have been better prepared for this matchup than in years past. I mean, Kalani Sitake discussed how that game a year ago was kind of a lesson learned about how he approaches a game. And Kalani also earlier this week, he discussed the matchup and how he's excited for the chance to take on Washington once again.
More than anything, had a bearing on how I function as a head coach and what I can do to help my team get better, so... every year is different, but I think for us to just keep working with what we got and not to give out our plans, because I don't want to do that. There's a plan in set, and our guys are ready for it, and we're really looking forward to the challenge.
BYU should feel pretty good about themselves right now. I mean, coming off two wins, impressive wins where they were underdogs, and I don't care what you say about USC and Tennessee, people can go on Twitter and say, oh, it's a bad team. Still, the recruiting rankings would bear itself out that those teams should crush BYU. Their support staffs, their budgets should crush BYU. BYU still rose to the occasion and got it done. This will be the toughest test since Utah, though. And Washington, Their wide receivers are pretty good, but they're not very physical. That's going to be one area I'm very intrigued to see how BYU performs against Washington secondary. Isaiah Heron going to be a starting cornerback for the Cougars, according to the depth chart this week. I like that move. I feel like it's been kind of roulette at that other spot besides Dion Gonwola, who Dion's a stud. That guy can make plays. He came up clutch in the overtime win against USC, getting the interception. Now, the other spot, though, it's been D'Angelo Mandel, it's been Dimitri Gallo, it's been a lot of different guys. Isaiah Heron, who's fully healthy now, at least should be, as well as you can honestly be in week four of a college football season, Heron seems like the guy that might be the best bet. Now, he was trending up in the later stages of fall camp before his injury in the final scrimmage of camp. He was looking like a guy that was going to unseat D'Angelo Mandel for that starter spot. But once he got injured, then Mandel got the job because Gallo was still a little bit inexperienced, only had a week and a half of practice under his belt. So they went with Mandel. Mandel struggled against Utah. And now Isaiah Heron's going to step into the hot seat at that other cornerback spot. And again, Washington's receivers have struggled with physicality just a little bit. So going to be very interesting to see how that plays itself out. We'll talk more about BYU and Washington throughout the week. Want to get to some interesting news from the day. BYU releasing new uniforms. Going to have a throwback game on Saturday against the Huskies. Throwback jersey, throwback helmets, throwback football field, throwback concession stands. Hey, I even heard there's going to be some throwback looks and feel in the media booth as well. Hopefully I can get maybe an old media hat, you know, like those like fedora looking things with the big media card in the hat. Maybe something like that. I don't know what BYU's got cooking, but it's in honor of College Football 150. And I love the historical anecdotes that are kind of dotted throughout the jersey. You know, you got the stripe down the middle, pays a tip of the cap to the Eldon Four Tie era. That block Y looks, I think, fantastic. I think the jersey looks great. I'll be honest. I think fans ripping it, like a small minority of the fan base ripping that jersey, I'm like, come on, you're getting an alternate jersey. Like, you're getting something new. It's kind of fun. Why rip it? It's a jersey, for goodness sake. And I think it looks pretty cool. I think it looks pretty fresh. I like the gray face mask. It looks really good. You can go check out the full pictures and details on the uniforms on kslsports.com if you haven't already. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday, and I think it should be another reason of many for Cougar fans to attend on Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium for this game against Washington. Not only do you got a nationally ranked team once again coming to Provo, the third time in as many games at home, third time you're getting a nationally ranked team, you're getting an afternoon kickoff at 1:30, and you're getting all these cool little throwback paraphernalia, souvenirs, programs, you name it, concession stands, $2 hot dogs. You can't beat that. Those are some great deals, and I think it should be a fun atmosphere, and I think BYU is better equipped to be more competitive this year against Washington. I think it would be devastating if BYU, you know, all this good fortune that they built up, and they just go into a buzzsaw and get crushed against Washington again. They can't afford to do that. They got to show that they've improved, and they've shown that they've gotten better from last year's debacle in Montlake, because I think it would be tangible evidence that you have improved as a program, and it would just also help Kalani Sitake's case to get a contract extension. A lot of debate on that, and you can check it out on kslsports.com. Has Kalani Sitake done enough to warrant a contract extension? I think he has. I think he has, and I think, you know, people want to downplay it on social media that the recruiting element doesn't matter because it's BYU and they just recruit the same guys regardless of the head coach. I would politely disagree with that, but nonetheless, you know, recruiting does matter. Even at a place like BYU too, it matters, and you want to have some continuity at that spot, or at least some assurances of what the future holds at that head coaching position. Kids don't want to commit to a coach that might be done in a matter of a few months, because when you're talking about a head coach, you're also talking about his entire assistant staff. And the assistant coaches have the strongest relationships with these recruits. A kid like Kobe Bryant-Strother, who visited last week, he was talking with Ed Lamb before the game against USC. He was on his official visit. He's got remaining official visits to UCLA and Nebraska coming up. I mean, that kid, you know, if Ed Lamb's still intact, I think BYU's got a great shot to land Kobe Bryant-Strother, the younger brother to Elijah Bryant. So keep that in mind. I think that's something that should play a role in, you know, this decision. But I think, you know, again, some people might want to back off the whole contract extension talk if BYU comes up and gets throttled by Washington. I think BYU, if they get 6-7 wins, they're good. You renew Kalani and you move forward, but I think he's done enough already. I think regardless, he's the right man for the job for BYU going forward. But I like the uniforms. I like the throwback look. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see on Saturday. And it got me thinking, too, what are the best uniforms, in my opinion, the top five uniforms in BYU football history? I'll just share with you my list. I'm curious to hear yours. You can tweet at me, at @Mitch_Harper, at KSL Sports, at KSL Cougar Tracks on Instagram, and KSL Sports there as well. I'll reel off my top five. Number five, 2007 to 2011 home jerseys. Navy blue, stitch. If you remember in 2005 and 2006, BYU kind of suddenly, with Bronco Mendenhall as the new head coach, suddenly moved from all the tan stuff and abruptly went to the navy blue. That's not usually how it rolls with Nike. It's usually this stuff is years in advance. Like this jersey, the white jersey with the royal blue numbers and royal blue pants with white stripes, this has been in the works for a couple of years now, especially the white jersey with royal blue numbers. Nike's been in talks with BYU for about 18 months, 24 months on that jersey. So those things take time. 05 to 06, with the John Beck years, they had like this screen print that was imported from Taiwan. Yeah, it was imported from Taiwan because it actually wasn't a Nike jersey, and they wore that. But then in 07, Nike got up to speed with BYU's new changes. They got a full stitch look, and I thought that was a very pristine-looking jersey, very crisp. I think that was one of the better ones. That's number five. Number four, this is kind of off the rails a little bit, but I like it because of the uniqueness. 1984 Adam Haysbert white face mask. I love me a white face mask. A helmet with a white face mask looks very crisp. Just the Adam Haysbert look alone, the tearaway jersey, the mesh, that looks brilliant. Adam Haysbert 1984 look is number four for me. Number three, the Ty Detmer era jerseys, which is a tribute. The new throwback jerseys this weekend are a tribute to that era of Ty Detmer jerseys. Number two, 2009, the royal blue jersey that was in honor of the 25th anniversary of the 1984 national title. Those looked great. And then number one, 1996, the first year BYU had Nike jerseys, the royal blue, solid white pants. Those were great. I love the black accents on those. I thought those were really good jerseys. So those are my top five jerseys that I think all time for BYU. But I got to say, short term, I mean, I don't want to be Mr. Reactionary guy, but this new jersey, I think it might be one of the best ones that I've seen BYU might be wearing. I'm really curious to see what it looks like in person, but all the pictures look great. I think it's going to be fantastic to see. Some others that just barely missed the list for me, the blackout jersey in 2016 against Utah State, not the one against Oregon State and UNLV in 2012 and 2014, respectively. The one in 2016 with the royal blue oval white, I thought that looked really good. And then, you know, this one's kind of surprising to some, but I really like the 2004 jerseys. Those ones that had the no-name plate on the back, they were Nike jerseys, and Nike really made this, like, this custom fabrics that was sweat-resistant. It was unique and one-of-a-kind. It was like BYU truly was a tier-one school with Nike from, like, 1999 to 2004. They were kind of making BYU like an Oregon Light in a way. I mean, that whole tan and navy blue era, people look at it in low regard, but Nike was doing creative, cutting-edge things with BYU back then. I kind of like those jerseys. I thought they were really cool, personally, but those were kind of just knocking on the door. But I would never put them in the greatest of greats because that helmet wasn't the greatest and things like that. But I thought the jerseys, I thought those looked kind of good. One of those guys that wore the jersey I had at number one, the 1996 jersey, was Ed Lamb. Ed Lamb, of course, associate head coach for the Cougars, linebacker coach, special teams coordinator. I caught up with him in a one-on-one interview, and you can hear that interview right after this.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Coach Lamb, Washington week now, week four for BYU. Coach, what's the biggest challenge Turning the page after a big win, getting ready for Washington.
Yeah, you said it, turning the page. That's the biggest challenge. We got to, you know, I thought our team was in a really good place mentally for preparation when we lost the first game of the year. And I thought we had a humble team that worked really hard and fought for a victory. I think they followed that up in week three. And you know, we'll find out as this week goes along how ready we and willing we are to prepare.
Chaz Aiyu is stepping in that flash linebacker position. What's the potential of a guy like Chaz?
Chaz is I think Chaz's potential in this game is, you know, he can play this game at the highest level. I think he can play a number of positions for us right now. You know, he fits best at our field linebacker position, but he's got great instincts for the game. He's becoming a better student of the game every week. I'm just really pleased with the way he's approached his preparation the last few weeks.
BYU and Washington's kind of got a rich history despite not being two programs that have not seen each other yearly. You faced against them in 96 as a player and then last year. Just maybe thoughts on the matchup and the uniqueness of this kind of history between the two schools.
Yeah, it's another chance for our guys to match up against an incredible opponent, you know, and last year to be in their environment. It's a great stadium, loud, a lot of tradition. And, you know, their players are highly recruited, highly competitive guys. And I think we got a real bad taste in our mouth the way it went down last year. You know, I think some of the history that you and I might appreciate, I don't think our players are very aware of at all. But they know which schools get a lot of attention. And, you know, the Power Five is the current language for that. And our guys, are, of course, are really excited to play.
Max Tooley was named Special Teams Player of the Week. It seemed like he also made plays defensively at linebacker. Max made a lot of strides, it seems like, from redshirt freshman season to this year.
Yeah, he sure has. Yeah, he's a really violent player. He loves to play the game. Reminds me in his approach a lot of Shimotaki. Just throws his body around full speed and just loves the contact part of the game, and I thought that really showed.
How do you feel about the growth of the inside linebackers? I mean, Kavika's been making great plays. I mean, just the whole group as a whole seems like they're progressing quite a bit.
Yeah, I think what we got are a bunch of guys who are capable, and now they're, you know, I think the fact that we didn't have an established starter, I think rose each of their level of play, that they want to fight for playing time. They're all supportive of each other. They're good friends, but, you know, they understand that they've got to be at their best every day.
So, Ed, Kalani said yesterday that you were kind of the brains behind this scrum play that features Kyrus and Diane in the backfield. Can you just speak to the history of that play and where it came from?
Yeah, that was something, you know, when I was at Southern Utah, we had developed that play as part of our offense, just to get some of the biggest guys out on the field. But also sometimes it can catch the defense off guard and look like the field goal team is coming out in a fourth down situation anyway. And the idea is just it's just one more wrinkle that the defense has to prepare for. You know, the philosophy behind it too is that it's not, you know, a lot of times, you know, in an offensive situation, you can get concerned about what the defense is and where the middle linebacker is and what play is right for what situation. The idea behind that play is that it's right and appropriate for every situation. And, you know, it didn't work there the second time we tried it. And really, I guess it was the third time we tried it in that game. Yeah. And so it didn't work and wasn't successful. But the important thing is that our team goes into that play every time believing that it's going to be successful, and it didn't, and there's a wake-up call, and I think there was value in the fact that we actually went for it, and you know, just and the way the guys bounced back from that moment, that was fantastic.
Since you're the special teams coordinator, I got to get in a question about Jake Oldroy. What are your thoughts on Jake having the ability to bounce back after missing a field goal against USC and still being able to hit a big one in overtime?
Yeah, really clutch on his part. I mean, you know, great kickers miss field goals, and great,
in your pockets?
Great. What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, when you're ready.
So, yeah, great tacklers miss tackles. Great quarterbacks throw interceptions. The way they bounce back is what makes them great.
How do you feel about the overall depth? I mean, guys like Matthew Criddle's getting opportunities to play in that final drive in OT, and just maybe guys are getting time in practice, Drew Jensen, Salofa Funes. How do you feel like all those guys are rounding out the depth?
You know, I really believe in my guys, you know, especially during the season. I don't think you're ever going to find me too critical. I believe in what they can do. I believe in their best potential. I believe it's my job to bring out their best potential. And I think we've got You know, I think we've got a whole room full of linebackers that can win games.
Big thanks to Ed Lamb for spending some time with me and talking about his BYU football team as they prepare for the Washington Huskies coming up on Saturday. 1:30 kick. Pregame starts at 11:30 a.m. and you can hear it all on KSL News Radio. No Cougar Sports Saturday because of the broadcast. So we'll have a Cougar Sports Saturday podcast that you can check out. So go subscribe to that podcast feed, Cougar Sports Saturday, on KSLSports.com, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, the whole nine yards. But I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, make sure to subscribe to the pod on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Leave a rating and review. It helps us out a ton so more Cougar fans can be exposed to the greatness of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I'll catch you tomorrow. I'll have an interview with some of the offensive players, and we'll continue to break down BYU versus Washington more in depth. So signing off, talk to you tomorrow here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.